rising
I'm ready.
grand
Let's
rising
go.
kings, queens, gods, and goddesses. Thank you for showing up for another episode of That White Girl. I am privileged and honored beyond belief to have MC Snillo on my show. A lot of you will not know who he is because he lives in Coal City, Enugu, Nigeria, in West Africa. He is an activist there. He's a humanitarian there, and he's a musician. I would consider his music politically inspired, and he will probably tell you the same. So I'm honored to have him on my show. It took a while to get it together, but he is here. And so welcome to the show, MC Snillo. How are you today?
I'm
Absolutely.
good.
Well,
Thanks for
I've
having
talked
me,
about having you
Kimberly.
on the show
It's
for
nice to be here.
probably 6 months or longer now, and and I have been and I've been watching your work extensively. I keep my eye on people that I'm interested in, and the amount of work that you do and the effort that you put forth, and not to mention, I haven't even mentioned your age. It's not like you are, you know what I'm saying? It's not like you're an older gentleman, you know, that is
Understand.
out there. You are a very young man and you are doing some exceptionally important work in Africa and Nigeria. And I really want you to start talking about that. So we can start wherever you want to. If you want to start at, you know, I know you have a charity organization. I know that you have a your entertainment is Capone Empire Africa. So yeah, and I know
Yes,
that they are
straight
all kind of interrelatable because everything that you do is, you know, for the benefit of your people there. And so let's talk
up.
about, you know, let's talk about the Capone Empire in Africa. Let's talk about your entertainment part first, and then we'll talk about your charity organization, if that's okay.
Well, it's okay. Capone Empire, it's a record label and an organization that reaches out to people, especially the underprivileged. Over the course of our existence since 2016, we've been able to assist lots of artists, set if right to their dreams and help them proceed to the next stage in their career. And right now we have Donadon and PG as the frontline artists. Well, with a couple of more artists to be published, we've been able to put out some artists who are no longer with us. And then we have some amazing songs that are doing so well, both locally, but more importantly, they're doing so well in the international arena. And I just got nominated for my first international
Yeah.
music award. I'm talking about the Indie Music Award that'll be happening in Florida, 28th March, in Jacksonville,
Wow,
Florida.
that's amazing.
And
That
yeah.
must be, I mean, that's big for you, correct? You work very hard at what you do.
I mean, having an award nomination all the way far away from coming from the United States, it's a big thing, Not everybody has the opportunity to do
Right.
that at a very young age in my career, so
Absolutely.
I
I
think
think
it's
it's
good.
great because at the end of the day, the people who are involved and who watch these types of shows where, you know, you're represented, at least if nothing else, your name appears. It comes up and people can see you and know you and maybe, you know, research and see what you're doing and then eventually contribute, you know. The main reason that I wanted to have you on the show is because you follow me, you know what my podcast is about, you know how I feel about Black America, if you will, and what I'm trying to do here as far as liberation. And then I see your page and I see what you're trying to do, and I realize that the injustice is everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And I think that Black folks have been purposely disconnected from their source and from their heritage and their history. And, you know, I'm hoping that this podcast leads to some unity, to some understanding, and to get back some of their history and realize that this is across the board what is happening. You know, and that our white privilege over here is one thing, but over there, you guys, your privilege is beyond white, is it not? It's like political privilege and money privilege and class privilege, so that that almost every person of African descent that is a Black African descent, is it affected by those privileges if you are not within that privilege? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, I'm here. I'm still here.
Can you hear me? Hello, hello? Hello, hello? Hello, hello?
Yeah, are you still there?
Okay. I can hear you a little bit better. All right. So what I was, so one of the reasons that I'm having you on the show is because I feel like you follow me, you know what I do. And I feel like Black America has been so disassociated from their history, so disassociated from their heritage. And there's no real interaction. There's no real understanding. And when I look at what is going on with you, I follow your page and I see what's happening in your country and with your people, but I also see that yours is beyond maybe, and that's the question, is it beyond Black and white? It sounds like there is a political division, that there's a class division, and then there is that within the Black community that it's divided like that, or is that with the white community is involved, or is this strictly Black folks being divided on all these levels?
Well, I love that question. I hardly get, I hardly have journalists to, you know, they hardly ask me a question like this. So having an opportunity to address this issue makes me happy. Of course, this whole thing started with the colonization of Africa. You know, I think in the 17th or 18th century, lots of Europeans came down to Africa. They colonized Africans. Mm-hmm. They divided us, took away our people as slaves, and, you know, they took them far away. And it didn't just end there, okay? Before they left Africa, they created nations after they have destroyed nations. And so now the problem is this. It's not like we Africans love the whole thing that's going on, but they created nations, and these nations are just not working. For instance, let me give you an example with what's going on in Nigeria right now. Mm-hmm. Nigeria was created in 1914. Before then, these regions known as Nigeria were all independent nations existing on its own. In the eastern region of Nigeria, we are France. And in the west, they were the Oduduwa people. And in the north, it nations were existing on its own. Had their own leadership and ways of life. But the white men came away from Britain and brought, colonized these people and brought them all together. In 1914, they called them Nigeria. Before they left in 1950, they handed over power to the northern part of Nigeria for them to rule Nigeria. Ever since the independence of Nigeria to this day, it's been the north that have been producing the leaders that we have in Nigeria. And then the north just don't care about other regions. So they take the resources from the east where we are and move it over to the north, leaving us hungry and with nothing. And from my research, they are still loyal to their colonial masters, which is Britain. So it's just, it's all about power, struggle, and struggle for who controls the resources. So this division came in when the white man came in and colonized Africa. Now, lots of what's happening presently in Nigeria is this. The North doesn't want the other regions to enjoy the resources coming from the country. That's just the problem. They want to burn off everything. Let me give you a clear-cut example of the situation we're facing in Nigeria. The USSR is a clear-cut example. You know, back then, Russia, Croatia, Slovakia, Ukraine, all these people were all together. They were USSR. But Russia and Slovakia and Slovenia, we are like the top regions, you know, that had more power. The union was working. So I guess in early 90s or thereabouts, they had to divide the union. So that's exactly the union created by Britain called Nigeria is not working. You know, and the those in power, you know, the North doesn't want the country to divide. So they're devising, they're creating many ways of making sure they hold this country together. And that's why you have lots of violence in Nigeria. If you protest, you get killed. Sometimes if they feel like this region is becoming so powerful, the North organize a terrorist group to go reduce their strength. And they don't bring anybody to justice because the government is way behind all these things. And the Northern leaders too, or the Northern politicians and their elites. So that's about the whole division we're having down here. I can talk about other countries in Africa having the same issue, like Central African Republic, there's been war back and forth there. Same thing happened in Liberia. Same thing happened in Rwanda. The Rwanda genocide, that was popular. You know, they've made a movie about it, you know. So the whole thing started with the invasion of Africa by the colonial masters. And then let's bring you over to our brothers over there in the Western world. We are, the media in the Western world makes blacks in America or Europe to think blacks in Africa are monkeys. Whenever they portray Africa, they all show images of poor people, right, people who are hungry, poor, who live in the bush.
Right.
That's not Africa. Don't use the opportunity to let the world know that's not Africa. We drive Mercedes-Benz here, we use iPhones here, we have internet, we live just like every other person, even though we don't live in a perfect environment.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And this whole thing about portraying Africa like a bush makes people don't want to come down here. You know, I'm glad people like Akon, you know, they are there talking about Africa in the music arena, letting people understand that what the mainstream media is showing you, it's not Africa. You don't need to come down here and see the real Africa.
Yeah, I've heard that repeatedly, actually. I've heard that repeatedly. And I've, you know, also talked to people who visit or who want to visit, and then they come back and they say the same thing. Like, it's just, you know, which it's no different over here. You know, black folks have been brainwashed for centuries since they were brought over here on the ships and stolen from their country and placed here for profit. They have been brainwashed with religion, with politics, with everything. And it sounds like it's, you know, absolutely no different over there. The unfortunate part is, our idea of Africa is, and I'm not being funny, but it is like Black Panther and Rwanda, the movie, you know what I'm saying? Which I'm not discrediting what they, you know, showed, but that's all that Black folks have to go on to kind of have an idea. And I just was in Memphis in a march for Martin Luther King, and being there changed everything for me, seeing the history and standing there before it. And so I know you're not presenting an image, but at the same time you are with your words, and it's very, very important that it is seen and that is heard by Black folks over here, so that it's understood that the division, that the brainwashing, that the resources, we have these same conversations, but at a different magnitude over here. You know what I'm saying? And so,
yeah,
I think it's so important, and I'm really glad that you came on. And, you know, with all that being said, now that we can see the division, let's talk about your charity organization, because the work that you do is phenomenal. First of all, before I even go any farther, I want you to tell people a little bit about you, and especially your age. I want people to know your age, because I want them to understand how important it is for young people to be involved in this movement. You know what I'm saying? It's so important that your generation is involved.
Well, I'm just a very young person, and if you can go through my videos and my pictures, you will know I'm just a young person. Actually, what inspired me to do what I do is my father. You know, my dad, he believes in giving. And he always told me when I was young, you don't need to be super rich to give. And as you climb up the ladder of success, drag people with you. So he's not always around. Whenever he's around, I spend some quality time with him. out of all his four children, he would tell you that I'm always around him whenever he's around. I try to learn things from him. And then my grandfather too had that same belief. I spent some time with him. You know, I'm always one of the, I'm his favorite grandchild. If I'm, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or something, but we are super cool and close. So I picked up all these things from them. Even the music I do came from them. My grandfather was a footies, he had a music band. My father was a DJ and an MCA, you know, an anchor.
Got you. And how old are you?
I feel like their spirit just rose or just blessed me with what I do today. It's not been easy, but well,
you
want to
keep your age private?
I tend to keep it private anyway.
So all right, I'm telling people you're under 30. You're under 30, so your generation.
You're correct.
Your generation of age, your age bracket is so important right now, because I think that a lot of, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think that it's important for your age bracket to be involved, but is over, at least in Nigeria where you are in Cole City and that surrounding area, and the people that you work with, are they young as well too? Are they politically involved? I mean, the history that you know about your country is ridiculous. And the fact that you know it and the fact that you're able to act on it and understand it is ridiculously impressive. So I'm wondering if there are more of your generation that are doing the same type of things, or at least involved in it, the same type of things that you're involved with.
Well, when I started this movement, here in Cole City, I can just point out one or two people doing the same thing. No, just one person. I actually had to team up with the person, and then we formed the foundation initially. Then we decided to grow apart, and go back to, being Capone, the founder of Capone Empire once again. But what I did was, the first thing I did was to recruit in young.
Yes. Are you there?
Get back to giving back to our community. We need to get back to.
Yes. And yes. Can you hear me?
Hello. I'm okay, there. So
yes.
Hello. So I actually started up recruiting young people. You know, getting them involved in what's going on, opening up their eyes, both with what's going on in the politics and the need for us to get back to healing our community, because our community needs healing. You know, it's been so long, but we can get there with time. Someone needs to start something. That's why I started up my movement. As for our charity, we cater to underprivileged kids, poor people, elderly, widows and widowers. We've been able to rescue lots of runaway children and put them back in their homes and resolve the issues they're having with their parents to run away. We've taken kids off the streets and put them in schools. We've been able to provide healthcare services to various communities for free. And we've been able to do a lot of more stuff towards empowering people in low-cost businesses and all that. And guess what? We are doing all this without any foreign aid and any government sponsorship. Let it be clear. Because a lot of times, you know, when you talk about charity in Africa, they always be like, people think, oh, it's all based on foreign aid, or maybe Bill Gates came and dropped money. No, we are doing this on our own. We make our money and put it back in the hands of our community.
And, you know, that's, I don't know if you understand, but in America, for you to be able to do that is impressive. Over here, what happens a lot of times is that the money is, it basically comes from the government, and then it's weeded down into what they call organizations that have, you know, ideas about what should be going on in the Black community. And so, you know, even, you know, they talk about reparations over here, and which is ridiculous to me because it's never going to happen. But, you know, all they want to do is take government money and put it in funding into communities that the funding is going to go to the organizations that are already run by the government. It just defeats the whole purpose of reparations. You know what I'm saying? Because it's the same government that has. Yeah, so the fact that you are able to do it and actually do it and actually have money to actually do this, to be able to go and get these kids off the street, and I've seen you, you put them in shoes, you know, I mean, it's amazing that you're out there and able to do this without government backing, without going through an organization, without going through some kind of, you know, facility or something that is government owned and government ran. It makes a huge difference. I can only imagine in the communities that you're in, that you're affecting in this way, especially to the kids. And I mean, I'm thoroughly impressed by it, and I want you to talk more about, I mean, I know you said, well, and I said too, you know, some of the things that you do, but I mean, I don't know if you know this, but you're very nonchalant about it. And it is so important what you're doing. I mean, it's unbelievable that you're doing this stuff. To me, it's unbelievable. So, you know, what I just saw a picture, a fairly recent one, of the group of kids, and they all had on brand new white tennis shoes. Let's just talk about that itself. I just want to talk about that because you had all of their... What was crazy to me, and maybe it was the picture, but there was way more kids that had shoes on than there were the old piles of shoes in the middle. So I have to assume that some of the kids didn't even have shoes, let alone a new pair of shoes.
Okay, you know, the problem is... Well, I can't believe you saw that picture. Well, most of the kids down here are so underprivileged that they come to school without shoes, and some come to school with one outside house that should have been thrown away. I mean, so we had a seminar for kids last year. We realized that a lot of girls, they get pregnant in school and then they drop out, and then the young boys don't see the need to be in school because most of the people who actually went to university are unemployed. So they just prefer to go hustle in the streets, mm-hmm. probably sell a few things and or hop around the streets and make money instead of being in school. Initiative to cope this whole situation and, you know, get it under control. So last year, all we did was we started going to schools in rural areas and communities where there are less development and where all these issues are actually happening. Getting the kids to understand the importance of being in school, giving the girls sex education, so they don't have to like get pregnant, you know, to handle this whole thing of teenage pregnancy, you know, and dropping out of school. So in the process of doing that, we realized that some of these kids, they come to school without shoes on. And some come to school with worn-out shoes and sandals that, I mean, you can't even think of putting on. So we came back to the city. I discussed my friend Loveth, and we talked about getting them new pairs of shoes for school. You know, something that makes you feel good. So whenever you talk about coming to school, they'll feel happy to be in school, you know, something to help motivate them. So November last year, me and Loveth and a couple of friends were saving money, you know, putting money together, you know, and then thank God we're able to do something. And we're still going. We're not stopping yet. We've not visited all the schools on our list. So you'll probably see more videos and more pictures of things like that, you know.
Amazing. I mean, I just want you to know, I don't know who tells you or what they tell you or what they say to you or what you're aware of or what you're not aware of. But I mean, it's really so important what you're doing. And it's so important that the kids are educated. It's so important that they want to go. It's so important that they feel like somebody cares. You know, I say all the time, and I just put up a post today about how much I love Black men. And, you know, that doesn't happen a lot, especially from white folks. You know, there's not a lot of love going around here for Black people in the United States. And it sounds like there's not a whole lot of love going around for the underprivileged Black folks in Africa either. And so just know that it's amazing that you're doing this, and that it's important, and that I am hoping that you continue to do this endlessly, honestly. And I'm going to definitely, I want to post all of your information when I post my podcast, so that everybody can see. I know that you have, you know, set up where people can donate funds and that sort of thing to what you're doing. And I want to make sure that that's available and, to people to see and to show. And, you know, I want to get as much information about you as I can on my page. So I want everybody that's listening to know that when I post this podcast, I'm going to be posting, along with it, all the information to get in touch with MC Snillo, or at least be able to, you know, get involved in his organizations, be able to reach out and listen to his music and share it and let it be heard. I listened to a song today, and I'm going to be honest, I want to say, I'm not sure exactly which song it was, because I started listening to it and I was reading the words and I was just amazed by it. But I don't think it was I think it was your newest one. I think it might've been the Animal and Human Skin one. That was a possibility. And it was really good. It was really good. And, you know, I just want to encourage you to continue to do what you're doing. And I can only imagine that the burden is very heavy for you at your age and doing so much with what you're doing and understanding the logistics of why you're doing it. And, you know, I hope that you are further empowered and encouraged by people over here as well, too, after they hear this podcast, and that, you know, what you're doing is lifted up and embraced. And, you know, I just want to go ahead and close out. We're at our 30 minutes. I just want to thank you so much for coming on. I'd love to have you back on, and talk about maybe each one individually, as instead of spreading it out, because, again, both your community efforts and your music are so important to you and to your community, that they really need their own platform individually. And I probably didn't realize that, so that's my bad. So I'd love to have you back on in a few weeks and talk more in depth about each one, if that would be okay with you.
It's okay, anytime, you know, we are cool. I love what you're doing, and coming from a white lady wanting to put the spotlight on Black people and Black communities, it's amazing. You know, putting out the truth, you know, because most of the time what you get from the media, especially mainstream media, is false and lies, you know, and something is going on down there too. They're always trying to censor everybody. I refuse to be censored. That's why I'm off air, you know. So
and no censoring here.
Don't let me get on air.
Yeah, no censoring here. So you're able to absolutely speak your mind on this podcast 100% and name drop all you want to. So, so thank you so much again for coming on. I appreciate you. I'm honored to have you here. I look forward to talking to you again. And again, I'll have all of your information attached. And to all of my followers who are listening, please click on his links, follow him, empower him, lift him up, encourage him, donate to him. It is important what he is doing, and there's no doubt. I mean, there's no way to say it's not. It's crucial, and it's amazing, and he should be lifted up. So as always, I love each one of you individually. I believe in you immensely, and thank you for showing up and sharing time with me. Everybody, create greatness today. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.